Wouldn't it be wonderful, amazing, if we had the hymnal used by Jesus himself? Well, we do. The Psalms. We have the very hymns that Jesus and his disciples sang, and we continue to sing them every Sunday, as we did just moments ago in the introit. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we knew how the apostles preached, if we had some of their sermons? Well, we do. In the book of Acts and in various epistles, we have partial and whole sermons preached by the apostles. And the apostles continue to preach to us every single Sunday as we hear the scriptures read. How blessed we are to join our voices with those who have gone before us, with Jesus himself, as we sing the hymns of God. How blessed we are with our own ears to hear the preaching of Jesus and his apostles, to have repentance and the forgiveness of sins preached to us by them this very day. Sometimes we don't realize the profound treasure that God sets right in front of us. Scratch that. Most of the time, we don't realize the profound treasure that God sets before us. We are baptized. But how can we even begin to comprehend that because of this, we are now immortal sons of the Father, born of water and the Spirit, and we will live eternally? We take Holy Communion, but how can we begin to understand that this is a participation in the new covenant, the New Testament, in his blood? We see our church family, but how often do we miss the treasure that God has given us in these very people? We see our earthly families, and how often we fail to realize the treasure that God has set in our homes, placed right around the kitchen table. Even your trials, your sufferings, with your health, your wealth, your relationships. How often do we fail to see how our Heavenly Father uses trial and suffering for our own good, for our spiritual well-being, that we might draw closer to him and grow in good fruit? Jesus himself tells us that the Father prunes his branches for their own good, that they might grow and bear more fruit. The image is beautiful. The Father tending to us as if we were blue ribbon trees in his prized orchard. No, most of the time, we don't realize the profound treasure that God sets right in front of us. And this is most certainly true of the treasure that God sets before us today, in Isaiah chapter 49. It is wonderful, beyond all things, that we should have the treasures of God lavished upon us, his word, his baptism, his holy communion. It is wonderful, beyond all things, that we should have the hymnal of Jesus, his sermons, and the sermons of the apostles, and the gift that he drops into our laps this morning is no less mind-boggling and no less wonderful. But first, remember something. Remember, we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, and the Son is one person, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one. The glory equal and the majesty co-eternal. So, what would it be like to be privy to the private conversation between the persons of the Trinity as mere mortals, to eavesdrop on Elohim, to listen in on the divine discourse between Almighty Father and Everlasting Son? It is this very treasure that God gives to us today. Listen to what God the Father says to God the Son. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. It's almost a playful conversation, isn't it? Between the Almighty Father and the Everlasting Son. What is the Father saying? He's saying to his Son, it is too light a thing, my Son, that you should be national champion. I'm going to make you world champion. It's too light a thing for you, my Son, that you should save just the nation of Israel. You will save all the nations of the world. Before the Son of God even took on human flesh, before he was born of a Virgin Mary on that first Christmas morning, long before, he spoke with the Father about our salvation and the salvation of this world. And so it was that in the fullness of time, when the Son of God had become flesh, and John the Baptist saw him, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He does not say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away only the sin of Israel." Nor does he say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away only the sin of the elect." But John speaks faithfully, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What a terrible false teaching it is then when some say that he does not take away the sins of the world. Terrible because it calls God himself a liar, and terrible because it destroys souls. If the Lamb of God did not take away the sins of the world, then how can you know that he took your sins away? You can't know this. At least not with any certainty, and so you can't trust the gospel because it might not be true for you. The teaching that Christ does not take away the sins of the world, this teaching called limited atonement, calls God a liar and robs men of their faith. It comes from the mind of Satan. But the treasure that God lays in your lap this morning is to know not the mind of Satan, but the mind of God himself. To have your mortal ears opened to his immortal conversation, the Father speaking with the Son. A conversation that tells of nothing less than God's plan to take away the sins of the world by sending his Son to be our sacrificial lamb. It is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, as God himself says. And if he has taken away the sins of the world, then it is absolutely certain that he has taken your sins away from you. Your salvation is therefore every bit as certain as the Word of God itself. Your salvation is as certain as Christ's death and resurrection are certain. The treasure that God sets before you this morning is to know that the certainty of your salvation lies in Him. Long before you were even born, long before you even did wrong or right, a conversation took place between God the Father and God the Son. A conversation in which God tells His Son that it is not enough for Him to save only Israel. He will save all the nations of the world. The Lamb of God will bear the sins of the world, your sins and my own, and take them away by His sacrificial death. And so we sing with Luther of this conversation that took place so long ago, of this very reality of which Isaiah speaks. God said to His beloved Son, "It's time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to all salvation. From sin and sorrow, set them free. Slay bitter death for them that they may live with you forever." Before the Son of God ever took on human flesh, before He was ever born of the Virgin Mary, He spoke with the Father about your salvation, about what it would take to set you free from your sin and your sorrow, about what it would take to slay bitter death for you and for those whom you love, that you might live with Christ forever. And in this conversation, this divine discourse, Mary was chosen. "The Lord called me from my mother's womb," our Lord says. "From the body of my mother, He named my name." The name Jesus was chosen, for He will save the people from their sins. War against Satan was chosen. "He made my mouth like a sharp sword," our Lord says. "In the shadow of His hand He hid me. He made me as a polished arrow. In His quiver He hid me away." And our Lord Jesus is like an arrow, right through the heart of your adversary and accuser, the devil. In this divine discourse, the passion was chosen, and so was the cross. "I have labored in vain," our Lord says. "I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet, surely, my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with God." The recompense was chosen. That is, the compensation owed to Jesus for His suffering. That was determined. For Jesus' suffering, the payment is that the salvation of God will reach the end of the earth. The recompense paid to Christ, dear Christian, is the forgiveness of your sin, that you might be eternal friends with Christ and be His brothers, sons of God the Father. Though Jesus will be abhorred by the wicked and crucified by the wicked, His eternal reign is chosen. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and His Holy One, to one who is deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall arise, princes shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. The treasure that God sets before you this day, the treasure that God places into your ears, is to know that from eternity He has chosen His Son, our Lord, to be your Savior. And as the scriptures also declare in Ephesians chapter 1, He has chosen us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him, having redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His own will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things in earth. Wouldn't it be wonderful to listen in on the divine discourse of the Almighty Father and the everlasting Son, and to know the mind of God toward us and our salvation? We do. In Jesus' name, amen.